2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
And this is titled, How to Deal with the Spirit of Error. Hallelujah. How to deal with the spirit of error. Now, this is peradventure, if not the most dangerous enemy of the prophetic. I'm speaking about the spirit that mimics the prophetic, but it is not of God. We have these spirits, they are everywhere. We have these spirits, they look so much like God, but when you begin to test them, you find that even though they look like God, they are really not like God. All right. I remember a lady called me from the UK. Somebody in this meeting referred her to me. And she was she was a new Christian, relatively new Christian. And, you know, she was trying so hard to, you know, grow in her faith. And somebody introduced her to this prophet, who was from Mauritius in the UK. The prophet was from Mauritius. And the prophet started speaking to her. And before you could say Jack Robinson, the prophet collected the sum of £250,000. All right? £250,000. If you can shout hallelujah, you know, imagine, I wish somebody here would tell me how they feel like if you suddenly get that kind of money, you know, in your account. That is not less than 200 million in Naira, in Nigeria's currency. That's it. And the prophet swindled her. You know, he started innocently, was prophesying to her. And believe me, if you are a lazy prophet, you will fall into this error. You are not just... look, even for somebody who lives in the UK, £200,000 is a lot of money. It's not the same thing as 200,000 Naira. Please, don't make a mistake. All right? That is a lot of money, even in the UK. All right? So... yeah, somebody's helping me. I said 233 million Naira. I'm not going to work again. I'll just go home right now and maybe take a vacation for a year. 233 million. How much am I going to spend? By the time I'm done with like 7 million or 10 million, maybe somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, I'll be fine. But that lady was broken. This lady could not conceive. The doctor said, 233 million, Eniola. You know, the doctor told her that there was something missing in her body, so some organ was defective or not there, and she couldn't conceive, all right? So she struggled, you know, she struggled. It was a very difficult situation, and I'm still trusting God for her anyway. But we are talking about serious stuff here, because for those of you who get easily captivated by prophets who are not deep in the word, you are captivated by prophets who know your phone number, but don't ask you how your prayer life is. You are captivated by prophets who tell you to leave your husband's house or your wife's house and come and marry somebody else. A lady was in my office about 3 months ago, and after the service, she requested to see me. And as I was speaking to her, she mentioned that she had been in a particular white garment church, and while the prophet was ministering to her, the prophet asked her to be his second wife so that he would have time to deal with the problem she was facing. This is one aspect of error. And that is why for some of us who are in the prophetic, it seems that we are a bit cautious. We don't just go about brandishing, you are a prophet. And it's because sometimes the name or title prophet sends a very strong negative vibe. But irrespective of that, we should not shy away from our calling as prophetic. We have prophets in this meeting. We have people who are called by God in a very special way. You shouldn't shy away, because if we keep quiet, those who are practicing evil will continue to do it. And that is one of the major reasons we are having this school. In fact, in every prophetic school set we are going to hold, this topic is going to come up, whether at the basic level or at the advanced level, because the problem is not just that there's error everywhere. The problem is that the average Christian who prays and speaks in tongues cannot even tell the difference. The moment somebody mentions your name or your phone number or your problem, you get easily carried away. Of course, you remember that I told you that the gift of prophecy operates within three basic parameters: edification, exhortation, and comfort. In that sense, a gift of prophecy in operation can never give a negative word. But it's quite different in the ministry of the prophet. A prophet can tell you your sin. A prophet can call you out. So somebody, you can easily tell where somebody is operating from when you see the protocol level that is assigned to that person. And I'm sure before the end of this program, we are going to be talking about the prophetic protocols. All right? So these things are very important. Sometimes you are dealing with the spirit of error, not from false prophets, but from your fellow Christian brothers and sisters who are being led by their hurts, their depressions, their pain, and they could be trying to prophesy to you or trying to tell you what they think you should be doing, all right? Especially if they are telling you to do something without giving due regard to your personal choice, all right? God is almighty, but he always likes us to demonstrate our willingness. That's why even when it has to do with giving, the scripture says, let us give willingly and cheerfully. That's what the New Testament teaches us. All right. So if you know that you're going to have a problem with giving, keep your money, because there's no reward if you are not doing it willingly and cheerfully. So you have this thing is everywhere. All right. So let's quickly run through this. And I do hope that we can run through quite a bit. Okay. So sometimes when we see, I don't know maybe how many of you, if you watch a lot of these free-to-air channels, you see a lot of them in Ghana, you see a lot of them in the South, South, Southwest, you see a lot of them Southern Africa, Zimbabwe, South Africa, you have some of them at Southern Americas, okay, you see some of them operating in revelation gifts, and the way they are able to operate in these things, it begins to beg a lot of questions. Okay? Yeah, somebody is saying Delta State. All right? You find them there. And when you look at some of these people, there is nothing around them that reeks of the prophetic. Most likely what you are going to see is somebody that is trying to talk his or her way into your pocket. And some of you remember the story I spoke about, I told you yesterday about a prophet in Port Harcourt that was telling somebody to keep bringing money and should never go to the hospital or else he would die. At the end of the day, it turned out it was just ripping off that particular brother. So it's important as a Christian for you to be able to identify error from a mile away. It is reckless and risky for you as a believer not to be able to tell who or what exactly you are dealing with. Now, let me also say this. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to know the mind of God and to prophesy. So don't prophesy or attempt to prophesy in the flesh. I always recommend that even when the Spirit of God is laying something upon your heart and you feel like, oh, if I don't prophesy, I won't be okay. Maybe you are in a church service. Always take some time to double check. Always take some time to wait and gauge that pressure. Gauge that pressure, okay? The spirit of the prophet is always subject to the prophet. Don't be deceived, okay? It's still a sense of babyhood. You know, it's when you are still a baby to say, oh, I couldn't hold it back. And then I started prophesying. And then you disrupted the whole service, all right? As you must, there's nothing wrong with that if you are just starting. But I'm saying you must desire to grow. You must desire to grow. You know, I remember in a particular meeting, Bishop Wale Oke was ministering and he kept the spirit of prophecy was resting upon him. And at some point, if you know Bishop Wale, okay, when he ministers, when he becomes over him, he starts to hit his head. He starts to hit his head. And he'll say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my man, oh my God, oh my God. He was just hitting his head, you know, tapping his head. And he was saying, no, I have to finish this message. The spirit of prophecy was overwhelming him, you see, but he knew that he needed to finish the message. If not, the prophecy he was going to be giving out will not be of use to them. All right? If somebody is receiving a prophecy and does not understand the doctrine of faith, how does he apply what he's hearing or what he has heard to the prophetic word he's receiving? I said all this to say that we must learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit for revelation. You must learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit for revelation. And not only to receive revelation, but to discern the spirit by which the people around you are operating. When we refer to the subject of the spirit of error, you cannot accurately discern who is in error if you are not in an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right? You need to be concerned if your relationship with God is not in a very good place. You need to be concerned and really get yourself back in the boat. All right? This is so important. Okay, and I like to look at it this way. If you remember the story where Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him, and Peter argued and he eventually denied him. After Jesus was killed, Peter, you know, struggling with his guilt, decided to, you know, he didn't want to think about it, so he just said, "Oh, I'm going fishing." And the moment he said he was going fishing, a few other disciples, including John, followed him. I want you to pay attention here. The moment Jesus showed up by that river or by that, you know, by that sea, because Peter was in a backsliding state, Peter could not discern that it was Jesus that was standing by the seashore. It was John, the one who loved him. John didn't deny Jesus. Peter did. It was John who tapped Peter and said, "Look, that is the master." It was thereafter that Peter was able to respond by jumping into the waters and going to meet Jesus. There is something a backsliding state will do to you. It will cut off your revelation flow. It will cut off your ability to be strong when it comes into the matters of the spirit. Neglecting your prayer altar, neglecting your consecrations. And I'm not just talking about, some people say, "I pray 45 minutes a day." I'm saying, okay, for instance, you pray 45 minutes a day, you pray 1 hour in the morning. While you're on your way to work, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you praying in the spirit in that vehicle? When you get to the office, do you just go to the restroom, do your makeup, or are you doing your makeup and praying in the spirit? You see, you've got to train yourself to operate at a particular, you know, room temperature, such that if anything that is counter or offensive to your atmosphere comes into your space, you'll be able to discern it. This is very, very important. Again, I want us to avoid the trap of comparison or seduction when it comes to exploring the spiritual realm. Sometimes when you see some of these false prophets and you see some of these guys who are doing kind of stuff, you know, sometimes I listen to them. You know, there are some of them in Worry, you know, and all of that. Well, they are very popular. And sometimes when you see the kind of crowd that these folks have, you begin to ask yourself if you are really called. All right? That's to tell you that the greater number of people in church are not actually looking for Jesus. They are just looking for a safe way to get what they want without necessarily dealing with the consequence. All right? So you see some of these guys, you see the way they do what they do, how they are able to prophesy with ease. When you look at them, they are not really saying anything that agrees with your spirit in terms of the word of God. All right? So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. You know, always know the signpost to look out for. You must not be seduced to think that you can begin to explore the spiritual realm without the Holy Spirit. That's a very dangerous game. I've listened to some people who tell you, and they call themselves prophets, they are on YouTube. They tell you that, oh, to use your, that you can, if you want to prophesy, maybe you want to prophesy about, maybe about the United States of America. You know, you will start, you would think of a city, you start playing some kind of games, you imagine that you are now in the US, you start using the power of imagination. Yes, that's the word. The power of imagination and suggestion. Then you now begin to know things. You now begin to see number 15 Maryland, Brooklyn Street. You begin to imagine things. And then over time, you start seeing visions. Excuse me. You are exposing yourself to a very dangerous realm. The soulish realm is very dangerous. If you are not guided by the Holy Spirit, you are going to find yourself in a very big problem. When you see people trying to do that kind of a thing, they are probably seeing it somewhere. They are already dancing around the threshold of the spirit of error. There are also those who are genuinely called by God. They have a genuine gift, but Satan has swayed them, all right, by corrupting them through promise of great power, the desire to be great, desire for wealth, influence, and wrong association. So let me take a moment to explain here. That we have three types of prophets, basically. We have the fake prophets, we have the false prophets, and we have the genuine prophets. The fake prophets were never called. They were never called. They just went into the business. They may not even be prophesying by any power or anything. They are just using the gift of psychology, suggestion, to try to get into your mind. All right? Their God is their belly, and destruction is their end. We also have the false prophet. You see, a false prophet in this context is not necessarily a fake prophet. It's someone who has a genuine gift. He has a genuine gift, but that gift has been hijacked. Many prophets who are lazy fall into this category. All right? They fall into this category because they don't want to put in the work. Listen to me. There is no two way around it. If you are going to be a true prophet, you must have a very crazy prayer life. If you are driving, you are going to be praying. If you are walking to the store to get some groceries, you've got to be praying. There's just this sense you are, and you have to train yourself. It's not a one-day thing, okay? You have to train yourself, you know, to be able to get used to it, even if for 5 minutes. 10 minutes, 3 minutes. You are just praying and priming your spirit through the operation of tongues, speaking in diverse tongues or speaking in tongues, you know, or praying in the spirit. Okay? So if not, many who have tried to be genuine prophets have found themselves easily swayed. And I hope you remember the story of those 400 prophets that Micaiah had to engage. They were all genuine prophets. But because they were eating at the king's table, they became easily corrupt, you know, corrupted. They couldn't tell the king the truth about his state. And it was easy for a lying spirit to get into their soul. Why? Because they were already corrupted. Yes, they are true prophets, but they have become false. The gift is true, but they are now false. And Satan has hijacked this gift. Okay? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, the scripture says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." You see, if it is possible for a believer to be led away by the error of the wicked, when you see people who go to some of these mountains and they tell them, "Oh, we're going to give you something, you're going to wash your face, we are going to give you a solution, you are going to drink this, or we are going to pour something into your ears, you start hearing things." The Bible says you have to be careful so that you will not be led away by the error of the wicked. Okay? By the error of the wicked. I remember a particular time somebody was going on a particular mountain to pray. And when he got to the, you know, at the foot of the mountain, at the top of the mountain, he saw this guy who was there, you know, who welcomed him, and he said, "Oh, are you here to see to pray?" The guy said, "Yes." "Do you want a direct prophecy, or do you want to take your time to go and sort yourself? So the guy inquired to know what he meant by, do you want it sharp, sharp? You know, and the guy said, oh, there's Baba over there on the left-hand side. If you go to Baba, Baba is going to tell you immediately what you need to know. Okay? And you are going to also bless him. All right? So, or you go to the other side, there's one other man there, but that man rarely talks to people, but he's also a prophet, but you have to do a lot of praying. So the man had to start weighing it and decided to go the other way where, you know, there were very few people, and he took, you know, several days to pray and sort himself until God spoke to him. If you go into any place and they are demanding that you give them money before they prophesy to you, we have some of these Black American prophets, we have a lot of them like that there. You are dealing with the spirit of error. If a prophet is asking you to do certain things, like giving him money and all of that, you are already dealing with the spirit of error. This is very basic. Don't even pray about this one. Just take it. All right? So you can be led away by the spirit of error. Sometimes because the prophets can be very, you know, the prophetic gift is very mesmerizing. It is very flashy. So sometimes when we are in our elements, it's like we are flying high. But still, the conditions are the same. If you want to give to a prophet, do that out of your own will. For instance, when we are done with this school now, I'm not going to raise any prophet offering. Let's do it for Pastor Benga, who has been talking for the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to do it. If you want to do it, that's up to you. But I'm not going to do it. It's not part of the training. And if you have been doing it, you need to stop. You might have seen somebody do it, but you are playing in a dangerous zone. You need to stop it. Don't do it anymore. And ask the Lord for mercy. All right? You can be easily swayed and led away from your own steadfastness. Also, the channels of your spirit can be contaminated by Satan if you do not continue to yield the members of your body and your spirit to the Lord. All right, the channels of your spirit. For instance, when the Lord speaks, and I'm going to be talking to this at the next class, how to discern the voice of the Lord. The Lord speaks to your spirit, it speaks to your heart, and then information flows into your mind. So if your mind is not submitted to Jesus, if your mind is not submitted to the Lord, you may find that you are already getting trapped. Now, to avoid the trap of falling into this, to falling prey to the spirit of error, we must give attention to the following instructions. Number one, the gift of prophecy requires strong levels of humility and meekness. So when somebody is prophesying to you, you got to look out for the character of that person. Is that person being cocky? Is he being proud? Look for those things, because when the person is not humble, you have exposed yourself massively to the potential for error. So if you are listening to me, I want you to, these things look like very simple things, but they can be the difference between success and failure. Number two, your personal life of consecration as a Christian is important if you want to overcome the spirit of error. So you have to choose holiness, you have to, and if you've made a mistake, you've got to find your way around it and come back. All right? So, come back to God. You know, your personal life of consecration becomes like a thermometer that the Holy Spirit can ride upon to bring you a lot of revelation. Because by the time you get into that, into a situation, you will only be able to judge what that prophet or what you are seeing on TV by your consecration and what the Word of God is saying. Number three, overcoming the spirit of error becomes possible when you embrace the role and the place of spiritual fathers. There are many of us who are prophetic people here, and we have no spiritual covering. We have no spiritual father. And especially if you are a prophet, I seriously recommend, if possible, let your spiritual father be a prophet, because there are certain things that you would be going through if your pastor or your spiritual father is just a teacher. He will teach and teach and teach, but he can't. For instance, I'm talking to you now, and I'm having flashes back to back, and I'm having visions, and I'm still talking to you. So if I'm talking to somebody, except the man is really, really mature, the man is probably going to tell me, go and sit down, study the word, you know, be faithful, you know. You don't begin to talk. Yes, I know all of that, but I'm having this out of body experiences. I'm finding that I travel in the spirit. I go to cities, I go to nations, I go to places I've never been. While I'm asleep, I'm dreaming, and there's this prophetic angel that is beside me. He keeps talking to me and guiding me. The man can only tell you what he knows, but he can't give you certain details because he is not a prophet. So you need the place, you need to understand the role of spiritual fathers when it has to do with the spirit of error. There are people who claim to be prophets, but when you look at our fathers in the faith, they don't validate those people. They are very strong. They have many of these prophets have, you know, thousands of people following them, but you will never see our fathers standing beside them. That is a point out that you should be careful, especially when the status of that person is in question. Overcoming the spirit of error. If you are a prophet or you are somebody given to visions and revelations, you have to tone down the glory and attention you are getting deliberately. Deliberately. So my own style is to dress simply so that you may not even think I'm anything. All right, find your own style. Okay, find your own style. All right, deliberately tone down. Every time people try to call you the major prophet, the senior prophet, the master prophet, the prophetic general, the prophetic mashfid masha. The moment they start calling you all these fantastic names, you are walking on thin ice. Refuse it. In fact, what our Lord Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 12, and I usually tell people that Luke chapter 12 is the scripture for discipleship that Jesus taught us. It's a very long chapter. You may want to read it on your own and just get blessed and study it. It's a standard discipleship chapter. Our Lord Jesus taught us that after you have done the will of God, if somebody were to come to you and say, oh, you are wonderful, you did a great job, our Lord Jesus gave us the standard answer. He said, we are to respond to the people that we are unfaithful servants. We only did unprofitable servants. We only did what we were required to do. Don't let anybody blow your ego out of proportion, and then they shut you down and shut down your ministry. All right. So again, you also have to be looking at the issue of offense and provocation. Many people can move into the spirit of error, even though they are genuine prophets or prophetic people, if their anger level can be easily tampered with. You will find that someone like Moses, despite the fact being an accurate prophet, was the people moved him out of anger. And where he was supposed to speak to the rock, he ended up hitting the rock twice. And the Lord became very angry with him, and he lost his ministry. So you've got to protect your space. You've got to protect the devil. Sometimes your anointing is genuine, but the devil will begin to mess around with your character, with your response, with your anger level, with your patience level. And you just find that you become very rash and offensive, and Satan takes advantage of it. I remember a particular story while watching a movie on Apostle Babalola, and historical record said that there was a time he needed to get something, maybe water or food, and he told his child to go get him maybe a cup of water, and the child was delayed, and then he spoke to the child in Yoruba and said, why are you behaving like someone that is mad? And the child just ran mad that way, you know, and he had to quickly retrace himself and pray for that child to regain the sanity. So you got to be careful. Don't let anybody push your buttons so that you don't tilt into error. Okay. Now, when you are receiving a prophetic word, I always recommend that you subject that prophecy to the word of God. Is there anything in this prophecy that violates the written word of God? All right. Then you know that there's no way around it. Okay. There's no way around it. And this is very, very fundamental. There is nothing around it. There's nothing, whether you're operating from a prophetic ministry or the gift of prophecy, that will go against the person or the message of Jesus Christ. In fact, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Again, in testing the spirit of error, it is also good that you test the character of the person bringing the word to you. Is this person a manipulative person? Is this person known to be a cheat? What is the character of this? Is this person, I'm not talking about somebody that made a mistake. I'm talking about somebody that has been established to be a kind of person and that gives a negative vibe. Is this person a cheat? Is this person married to the second or third wife? Okay, you need to check the character of the person bringing the word. Is this somebody who beats his wife, or maybe a woman that beats her husband? All right? Or is this somebody that only respects her husband when they are in the public space, but could be rude to him when they are, you know, alone at home? Okay? Also, when testing a prophetic word, it is also advised that you can subject it to the input of your spiritual father. If you subject that word, then they can help you criticize it and then, you know, bounce it off, and then we arrive at some at a good end, at a good answer. Okay, please don't choose somebody as your spiritual father because it's popular. Choose somebody as your spiritual father because you can get the attention of this person. You can actually, you know, call him or send him a message and he will respond to you. The concept of having a spirit, of living in Akure or living in Wari and your spiritual father is in America, does not work. Your spiritual father cannot be Yonggi Cho. Your spiritual father cannot be Rick Joyner or Kenneth E. Hagin. It doesn't work that way, because when you are in trouble, you can't call them. You can't reach out to them. All right? It's important for you to have the ears and the audience of the person you claim to be your spiritual father. Finally, when testing for the spirit of error, you want to ask yourself, does this person that is bringing this word, does this submit to the authority of Jesus Christ? Does the spirit that is speaking, or the prophetic spirit that is communicating with us in a church or in the church, does he recognize the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ?